The big question in business, are we finally seeing jobs in this economic recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. For month after month now, we've been telling you about anemic employment growth, a jobless recovery in this country. But a couple of reports out today are rays of light on the nation's job market. Payroll services company ADP just reported this hour the number of private sector jobs added last month was way up, nearly 300,000 jobs created, three times what was expected. And job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas said today the number of planned layoffs last year fell to the lowest level in 13 years. John Challenger is CEO.
That was a very strong number. In fact, the month for December, just 32,000 job cuts, was the lowest monthly job cut total of the year. We saw jobless claims fall below 400,000 for the first time last month. So all in all, the economy seems poised for a better 2011.
On Friday, the Labor Department comes out with what many economists say is the most important indicator of the month, the official December employment reports. You may have noticed at the gas station, the price at the pump keeps going up and up, and now a warning from an energy expert that the increasing cost of oil could send any economic recovery into a tailspin. Fatih Birol is chief economist over at the International Energy Agency. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, too. Thank you.
We've seen higher oil prices before, though, and the economy seemed to be just steamrolling along. Why are we concerned now?
I mean, the last time we saw this level of prices was in the year 2008. And, of course, the oil prices were not the primary driver of the financial crisis, but they did play a key role in the run-up to the financial crisis by reducing the business and households' income.
This seems sort of like a vicious cycle then. Economic recovery that's demanding more oil, and then that sends the prices up. Are you saying that maybe this is a catch-22, that this could just keep happening over and over?
The age of cheap oil is over, especially if the major consuming nations, such as the United States and China, do not move from an oil-based mobility transportation system to an alternative one.
Do you have any predictions on where we could see, say, a year from now? Where will oil prices be?
By law, I cannot make any forecast, but I hope we do not see the levels that we saw in 2008 because the demand is expected to be very strong. And if the producing countries do not respond by increasing their production, this may well mean higher prices than we have now.
Fatih Birol, a chief economist at the International Energy Agency, joining us this morning. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Republicans take control of the House of Representatives today in Washington. And with that, California Congressman Daryl Issa takes the chair over at the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Now, Issa is calling for investigations into what he labels government hyperregulation. From Washington, here's Marketplace's David Gura.
Congressman Issa says he wants to hold dozens of hearings this year. He's listed several targets, the FDA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, the commission that investigated the financial crisis, the Defense Department, and the Obama administration. Republican Tom Davis says that's the chairman's prerogative.
You have broad oversight almost over everything.
Davis led the committee for 4 years when George W. Bush was president. He got some criticism for not holding enough investigations. He says ISA wants to focus on spending and regulations.
Business will like these investigations for the most part because I think what they're going after is looking at rules and regulations that are hampering businesses' authority to expand and create jobs.
After the midterm elections, ISA expanded his committee's agenda. Critics argue it's too ambitious and too political. Tom Davis says ISA has to be aware of that, and he may have to exercise some restraint.
The public eventually decides if it's a political witch hunt or if this is worthwhile.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets in Europe are still lower at the moment, despite the good employment news of today. U.S. auto sales jumped 11% last year. That's the best showing since the recession. Wall Street yesterday, mixed for the most part. The Dow added, though, 20 points to close at 11,691.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Today, there are reports the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking into special trading markets for red-hot tech companies such as Facebook and Twitter. Thing is, these companies are not publicly listed, and yet Facebook this week may raise $1.5 billion from wealthy clients of mega investment bank Goldman Sachs. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Goldman Sachs just invested nearly $500 million in Facebook. As part of the deal, Goldman's wealthy clients can get in as well. Each investor reportedly has to decide by Friday whether to put at least $2 million in. In means into a special investment vehicle, where special people get to buy shares of private companies. Michael Goldstein teaches finance at Babson College.
It looks like Goldman and Facebook may be attempting to use the special purpose vehicles to get around the, legally get around, the 500 shareholder rule.
That rule says once you have 500 shareholders, you have to give out financial information. Facebook wants investors, but wants to stay private, because going public can be a pain.
It's a whole slew of rules and regulations that suck up a lot of time for CEOs.
Reports say the SEC is considering updating that shareholder rule because of the Facebook case. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, the country of Lithuania hopes you're going to buy into their new official scent. The government worked with a French perfume company to bottle the essence of the former Soviet state. The foreign ministry has been sending out the new perfume bottles by the caseload to allies, to their troops in Afghanistan. Officials say the fragrance embodies the wood-burning scent of sandalwood and musk associated with regional pagan rituals. The new perfume is called Lithuania. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Here in the United States, millions of people are desperate to find a job. Germany has quite the opposite problem.
We can't fill the open positions that we have quickly. Sometimes it takes months, so we can't grow as fast as we would like to.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, getting the right workers for the right jobs in Deutschland. Also, the numbers from Wall Street. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.